Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Great to be on television and radio with you here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Steve.
And Dr. Dave Soup.
Greetings. Good to be here.
I wish I was more color coordinated like you are, but Jill, I'm not being negative at all, but you look so plain.
I know.
You know, usually you have
solid color.
You instantly got what I was talking about there. You usually look like a peacock
not. You know, I didn't have as much time today, so.
It looks great, I tell you. But anyway,
it's a good color. It matches your lipstick.
It is. Hey, how's it going today
for
you?
Dave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is the point.
I'm a man. What do I know?
All right, so how's it going for you, wherever you are? Hope it's going okay. If not, you've got a place to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And what we're going to do, we've got a lot of callers lined up. We're going to go right to the phones and get started. So let's start with Mike from New York City, New York. Well, he listens on the Internet. Hi.
Hey, Mike. Steve, how's it going?
Good. How can we help today?
Great. Well, thanks for the call. Steve, let me be very, very precise. The question I have for you guys is, what are the clear, concise arguments for using a Christian counselor therapist?
Okay.
And here's the context of my question.
Okay.
My ex-wife, who I feel is not a believer, wants to take my 10-year-old son to a secular family therapist because she feels he's been negatively affected by the divorce. Now, although I do see value in secular therapists, no doubt about it, but at his age, I think he needs someone who's going to be more sensitive to those biblical concepts that I exposed him to date.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't think he's able to filter at 10 years old. Now, one of your taglines says, Christian counseling changes lives, and we want to help. So I'm sure you guys have done the business case. So I'm looking for the arguments that support your value proposition that supports your ministry.
Okay. Well, first of all, this is kind of maybe not exactly where you thought it would go, but not all secular counselors are against Christian beliefs or are going to try to tear down a Christian belief.
And not all Christian counselors are really able to integrate their Christian beliefs.
Yeah. So in many cases, what we're saying is there's not that much difference between a Christian counselor who can't integrate Christianity or the beliefs into their practice and a secular counselor who is a Christian but doesn't advertise themselves as a Christian counselor. So I think the main thing is, though, that you get some help. And if it can be with a good Christian counselor, that is going to, we think that would be best because it would be, that person would be more sensitive to the issues that relate to his faith and where is God in all of this.
Well, there's, you know, I said what you're trying to say is there are Christian counselors that you wouldn't go to.
Oh, definitely.
That's why we have counselors that you would go to.
So. That's why we have to screen them. So
the issue is their value base. And so what I would do on that, Mike, is I would call whoever it is that your wife wants to take him to and just say, I'm the father, and I'm interested and concerned about your value base is.
Yeah.
You know, how do you make value decisions
What's your worldview?
Yeah, and if they don't want to talk to you about that, then that's a big red flag. And most counselors who have any kind of skill and competency will be happy to talk to you.
Well, and as the dad, you do have a say-so in that. I think both people usually have to agree. And
cases of divorce.
And you want him to be able to talk comfortably about where is God and all of this. And if a counselor isn't willing to do that, that should be a problem. All right, we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Mike, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I want to tell you about something else that happens sometimes and just get your reaction to it. But sometimes a Christian ex would feel out of control and want to be in control, and they find an issue like Christian counselor versus secular, and they kind of use that as a kind of the ultimate situation where they should be in control, not the other person. Does that ring true at all in your situation where it just might be a control issue versus Christian counseling issue?
My wife has definitely had, you know, like control issues, and she has skirted from counseling in the past with the marriage.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess I need to take the proactive position, you know, to protect my son's heart and to make my case.
Yeah.
Whether it's to her or to his attorney that was appointed to him by the court. I guess what I'm looking for, Steve, is that if there's some other scripture out there that you guys can direct me to, if there's some research or even surveys that I can help buttress my argument, you know, to the audience, whoever I'm going to reach.
Mike?
That there's value here. Yeah.
And I'm wondering why it has to be an argument, because if your son does have an attorney, this is just your preference. Right? And that has validity, that if you're going to be choosing a counselor, that you would like to have a say-so in that counselor's worldview.
Right.
Right?
Dr. Trevor, yes, you're right in theory, but at this point, she's driving this one therapist to me.
Okay.
And so I need to be able to come back in a reasoned manner and make my case. I have to bring in, you know, my son's attorney. I'll do that, but I want to do it in a way that makes sense and my arguments are sound based on scripture.
Okay, well then I wouldn't make the issue Christian versus secular,
and I wouldn't throw scripture at them either.
No, my argument would be based on the worldview of the counselor. Mm-hmm. Are they opposed to religious questions, or are they sympathetic to a kid asking religious questions? And what is their perception? What is their worldview? What is their value base? Those are the issues that you want to bring up, because those are general issues that are valid. Nobody's going to question those.
Right. And rather than talk about Christian counseling, I think you need to go find a Christian counselor so that you have someone to suggest versus her specific person that she's suggesting.
Mm-hmm. But I'd still call her choice and talk to them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I would talk to my son and try to connect with him about it and see. Now, I don't know that he's gone to this counselor yet or not. But
No.
Okay.
No, not yet.
But how does he feel about going to counseling and the type of person that he would like to see? You know, and have some dialogue and really hear from him. So you're presenting what his feelings are as well.
And back to Dave's point, you might talk to this guy and he says, oh, I totally understand your concern. I teach a Sunday school class of 10-year-old boys at the First Baptist Church. You know, that, I mean, may not happen, but you just don't know until you talk with them. And I hope that you will do that. And I will send you a copy of Forgiving the Unforgivable. And I hope that will be a blessing to you. It's by Dr. Dave Stoop. And a new book.
Rethink How You Think.
Yeah. I think people need to rethink about whether or not they need that book, don't you?
No, they just need to go and order it.
All right. Wendy from Colorado Springs, Colorado, KGFT is the station. Hello. How are you?
Hello, gang. How are you? I'm great.
Good.
Well,
good. Doing good here.
How could we help?
I have a parenting question. I have a 20-year-old sophomore college student, and he has applied for and been accepted into a program where he is able to study in Europe for 5 weeks this summer. They go to 11 or 12 different cities. They travel all over, and every 2, 3, 4 days, they're moving to the next town. I mean, just a phenomenal opportunity for a future business. He's a business student.
Okay, so what's the question?
And the question is, after he was accepted, he said, oh, yeah, I don't want to go.
Mm.
So we sent him to a friend who is about 15 years older than he is, and she is a professional career counselor.
Okay.
They went over the pluses and minuses. She has worked for numerous global international companies. She says that the global experience is invaluable. She did everything she could to get him to see the value in this once-a-chance-of-a-lifetime opportunity, and he says that the thought of being trapped there for 5 weeks and the stress of moving from place to place to place, it was stressing him out so much that he didn't want to go.
Okay.
The question is, I'm not sure if we're dealing with anxiety or, and if, you know, do I force him to go? Do I not force him to go?
Well, Dave, you've got kids. You've been through this stage with some boys. What do you think?
I think if you force him to go, you'll get more and more resistance, and you'll never really know what was going on. At 20, I would say, you know, I would express, you've probably already expressed your opinion that, you know, he's missing a great opportunity. And then I would say, but you're 20 years old and you're old enough to make your own decisions, and we will accept your decision. And I don't think you have a choice. And he went and talked to the other person that you wanted him to talk to. He's done his due diligence. And if there's something about that trip that's not comfortable to him, I don't think you can force it. So I
agree.
I would honor his decision,
yeah,
and let him know your disappointment, but honor the decision.
But after you honor it, I'm wondering if you ask him, you know, but can we talk about this stress and anxiety that you're feeling?
Yeah, because, but not right away.
Right,
it a day and then say, I don't understand some of the stress you're feeling.
You know, I know you've already made the decision. It's not about that. It's now about my concern about how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And is it really about that? You know, I mean, sometimes people get a new girlfriend and they don't want to leave.
But there's somebody else going on the trip that they don't want to be near.
Right, right. But if he's really stressed and anxious about that, what is that about?
I want to know about that, because at 20, that's not something that you typically run into.
Right.
But what do you think about that?
I have a lot of thoughts going through my head. In the first place, he does not have a girlfriend and he does not know anybody else that's going. He says it's not based on fear, that he's not afraid. But I know in the last year he has not wanted to go on family vacations because he doesn't want to travel.
Okay.
And it's not that he's afraid when we get on an airplane. He just likes to be at home. He likes to be in his room.
Okay, well, I don't think you take a child like that and thrust them, force them into a different situation. And it's, you know, it might be a problem of social anxiety, but I don't think you're going to cure that by sending him to Europe.
Okay.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, my husband and I are of different opinions.
What does the husband say?
He says force him to go.
Oh, wow.
No, I think you'll be sorry if you do that, because he'll get over there, he'll have some crisis, and then you'll have the expense of bringing him home early, and then the humiliation that he experiences, which would only reinforce whatever's blocking his desire.
Right.
I can't understand why somebody wouldn't do that. I would chop at the bit for
it. I know, but I wonder if this is increasing, I wonder what's going on with
that.
There's a social anxiety that's being developed, and I would want to Like Jill was saying, get into a conversation about that after you affirm his right to make a decision at 20 years of age.
Okay. Now, I'm going to send you Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love Our Kids, and I think that'll give you some insight on connecting with him. But I especially feel this way, knowing that it's the dad that's really pushing him to do it. I don't know. I just, that makes it, to me, even more important that they don't force him to go.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Okay, let's go to Lisa from Albany, New York. We've had a lot of New York callers recently.
Yeah, we have.
And we're glad for that. Hi, Lisa from Albany, New York. WHAZ is the station. How are you?
Well.
Great. How could we help you today?
Well, first off, I just want to thank you all for your sensitivity to all the callers. I've been listening to you for several years now, and I've been wanting to call actually sooner, but I don't think it's major that I waited, but I thank you guys for your sensitivity.
Well, we'll try to be sensitive to you.
We appreciate that.
What's going on?
Just quick. My husband is older than me, a bit older. He's 26 years my senior.
Okay.
We've been married for 10 years, going on 11 years now, and we have twin boys. They're 5, and we have another little guy that's 15 months old.
How old are you and how old is he?
I'm 31. He's 57.
57. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So, yeah, I was a little young.
Well, how did the two of you get together?
Actually, we met through mutual friends, people that had visited me when I lived down in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up to visit them, and I met him pretty quickly in the visit, and we just began going places together. We had several mutual interests, and we hit it off really well, you know.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. So, how are things now?
They're all right. We're buddies. That's we're friends, but romantically, it just it's lacking. I don't want to, you know, put a very dramatic spin on it. I understand with having children, twins, and that the daily grind, everything kind of tends to slow things down anyways.
But
especially if you're not aggressively working at it.
Well, do you write it off to his age or what?
Well, in some ways, well, let's just put it this way. When we first knew each other, he was very he really took care of his, you know, appearance. He shaved. The typical stuff. He was really interested in me. Now he's absorbed in his. He loves to play guitar. He loves to just kind of zone out, and that's his way of kind of escaping when he is home. He's around. We do talk, but it's just not, you know.
Okay.
Not much of a connection.
All right. He's getting old on you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, for
but I'm 60.
And 57 isn't that old.
And
no, but it's a mental attitude. It's an attitude,
you're right.
And he's got an old attitude. And
I was just going to say, you can't let age be an excuse.
No,
he needs to live.
Yeah.
And he needs to live with you.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you that you guys aren't going out and living. You're not going dancing.
We're not doing anything.
Yeah. So
we don't have anybody. We don't have
depressed?
Any babies. Nobody to really trust as a babysitter. His mother lives 45 minutes away. So.
Well, you need to find a babysitter so that you guys can get out. But don't.
That becomes an excuse.
Don't let him become an old man at 56, because he may live to be 40 more years as an old man.
Yeah.
And do you express this to him, Lisa?
I'm sorry?
Do you express this to him? Have you shared your feelings?
No, not really. I mean, I do share about let's get do things more often, but we try, but we don't really actually ever make it out the door.
Okay, so what keeps you from being really honest?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the relationship is such that it's almost as if he's my father in some ways. Having a hard time overcoming the way he looks at me, the housework and everything not being done. There's expectations there that kind of,
ouch. You guys, you really need some counseling together in a lot of areas. It doesn't have to be this way. I'm going to send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution that I think both of you need to read. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. There's a couple more comments we want to make to Lisa, and maybe Jill, you could make those.
Well, Lisa, we're just wondering because, you know, we're talking about, we know lots of people in their 50s, and 50 can be old or 50 can be young, and that perhaps he's depressed. And it sounds like you're not really talking with him about the problem.
Yeah. Well, I know a great deal of it is probably due. Well, I don't know if, I know this sounds really silly that I didn't mention it before. His father died when he was 9 in a bad bulldozer accident. So he has a twin brother. I also have a twin. We're both identical twins.
Wow.
We both, we
and
have
you
identical
had twins.
Twins. Yeah.
Wow.
So he has 3 other brothers, and they grew up without their father. I don't know, you know, I know that makes a tremendous amount of where he gets his affirmation and everything. He plays music with his older brother and his twin brother. They were in a band together. They've been playing together over the years, and just it hasn't really gone anywhere. And I don't know if he's just kind of, you know, realizing that it's that juncture in his life where it's, you know, you're realizing that some of your dreams that you had are
right.
not.
Mm-hmm. Midlife crisis
Midlife.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Some people go out and have an affair. Some people shut down.
Yeah, yeah. And his mother, you know, consequently was left to raise all of them, and she, you know, she did the best she could. She had her own, she did hair as a side business. It was her business. And she just did the best she could,
yeah.
You know, trying to mm-hmm. Well, place of 2 parents.
So. Well, Dave also brought up at the break that he could be just overwhelmed with the kids. And if you guys aren't going out and he's always at home and the kids, mm-hmm. it can really wear him down. So I think...
He needs some of your attention.
You have to get a babysitter. My youngest son has a 2-year-old and then some older ones, but they use a grandmother that they know who will do their babysitting for them. And this grandmother is incredible. It's kind of her business to babysit. But she has a certain day every week that she's at their house and spends the day in the evening. So if you're involved in a church, find some grandmotherly type who live close and who would be willing to babysit or get his mother to come and stay overnight. But you have to deal with that. You can't give in to that and just hibernate, because if he's depressed, the depression will deepen. If he's overwhelmed,
and then he's going to pick at you and the house and everything that's not right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a kick me out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, 7-Minute Marriage Solution coming your way. And boy, I'll tell you, there are 7 things to do in there, like respecting each other, responding romantically to each other. And it would just change your relationship if you could get involved with it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com, if you need some help with anything, including your marriage. Now, let's go to Sarah from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello, Sarah. Sarah, are you there? Well, maybe not.
I'm here.
Right. Hi, how can we help you today?
Hey, just in the nick of time.
Hi, sorry, had you on mute.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need encouragement right now or if I just need help in making a decision.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, I have forgiven my husband, but I don't trust him.
Okay.
So is that wrong?
Well, what did he do?
Well, I hate that question because it sounds like he's the only person that, you know, has done something wrong in this relationship, which he hasn't. But he did go to Every Man's Battle, did get disclosure, and there were, you know, strip clubs, other ladies, lap dances, ladies in my car, things like that.
Ouch.
Taking people out to lunch and stuff like that. Now, this was almost two years ago, so I'm feeling crazy or guilty that I'm still dealing with it.
Well, do you?
Why are you still dealing with it?
So why am I still dealing with it?
Yeah, you mean you're still dealing with the old stuff, or is it still ongoing?
Well, I guess I'm still dealing with that disclosure.
Oh, okay.
I'm still dealing, I guess, with the thoughts. Mm-hmm. I see a girl walking down the street, and I'm thinking, oh, well, did the girl look like that, or mm-hmm. did she look like this? So, again, I understand that I have to take every thought captive, and I did learn that forgiveness is an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time thing. So I know that when I have those thoughts, I have to just basically say to myself, I've forgiven him of that, and then I guess...
Well, is he involved in ongoing help and accountability and all that, or is he left that...
He is.
Okay.
He is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And like I said, I don't know if it's just me.
Okay,
okay, here's the question. Okay. We had a conversation maybe a week ago, and I just told him I don't trust him. And I think he's just, I don't know if he's just decided that, okay, I guess he's done, you know. But is that wrong? Am I supposed to just say, okay, you know what, yeah, that was over. Okay, I trust you now.
No, well, you have to rebuild trust.
Right.
And that's
trust
his responsibility.
And
it is earned, and it has something to do with his attitude and how he's working to repair things as well. That helps to develop the trust.
And all of that begins with him wanting to connect with you mm-hmm. in a way that he never has, and you responding in a way that you never have.
Right, because the lack of trust comes up when there are situations that feel similar to when you couldn't trust him or when he was doing things.
Mm-hmm. True.
Right? But if he's making every effort to connect with you, then that calms your fears.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You would so benefit from Women in the Battle. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and you know, sometimes you get into recovery and you just recover, but you don't try to bring anyone along with you.
Yeah.
And so you can end up doing...
What has he done, Sarah, in terms of helping you restore trust?
Well, there was a period where he didn't go out. You know, he likes to go watch, you know, the local a game or whatever at the local restaurant or something. So there was a time where he didn't do any of that for months. You know, but then
That's passive. What else did he do?
Like I said, he's still doing the victory call.
Okay. Yeah, but that's not helping you. How does he?
Well,
how does he reach out to you? Guess he doesn't, does he?
Well, he's an action guy. You know, he'll. You know,
yeah, but see, well, it's,
and then he should be saying, "Hey, let's go jump out of an airplane together.
Well,
let's go do hang gliding together."
We took a couple of trips. You know, over the last couple of years, during this time, we have taken some trips. But
okay,
to be honest, go ahead.
Go ahead and be honest.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, here's the problem. we've always done that, even during the time when he
it feels
was
the same.
Acting out.
That's so, part of why you don't trust, because it feels the
feels
same.
The same.
And because I'm thinking we were always doing this. We were always going out and doing things together.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just trying to figure out, is it wise? Am I being unwise? Am I being unwise for staying, I guess,
no,
stuck right here?
No, you're being unwise for not challenging what's not going on. And before you even think about leaving, you've got to challenge what's going on. So what I would suggest for you is that you have a conversation with him where you say, you know, I'm really proud of you for all the work you're doing in your recovery. But you're missing a major piece of work that is not helping us, because it's been 2 years now and I'm still reeling from the disclosure and I'm still struggling with trusting you because we haven't done anything to repair us.
Well,
does that make
or
sense?
To grow the two of you, because let's say there was no sexual addiction. You guys might still have these intimacy issues, mm-hmm, of not knowing how to truly connect, right? You can go and do things, but you don't really connect. So for you, there's something emotional that's missing. And so put the sexual addiction aside even and say, this is a problem before or without the sexual addiction, or in addition to the sexual addiction.
It's a continuation of the old problem.
Right.
And see, that's why it's hard to trust, because mm-hmm, it feels the same.
Yep.
As before. So he's got to understand that, and you guys can't fix this yourself. You really need help
on
this.
Well, because he doesn't know what to do, because he's following the rules. He's doing all the right things.
The things that he needed to do for the recovery.
Right, the things that he was told to do, right.
And he thinks that that's going to automatically fix the relationship, and it doesn't. So you need to get to the marriage weekend that's coming up at the end of the month, or at least if you need to get into marital therapy together, for somebody to help you with this distancing that was there, mm-hmm, even before all this stuff.
Lack of pornography is one thing. Lack of adultery is one thing.
But
having
intimacy.
Great intimacy, totally different thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, 7-Minute Marriage Solution coming to you. I wish you could get to a marriage weekend. Let's go to Jim from Tacoma, Washington. KNGW is the station. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's see, how do I start this? I've been pastoring, but I had to step down because I recently became blind.
Mm. Oh.
And I'm struggling with the reality and trying to find the purpose and what God has in store for me. This blindness happened just one morning. I just ended up waking up and I couldn't see.
Hmm. And you've gone to all the specialists to see if it can be reversed?
Yeah, they're saying there's no because my optical has been detached, and so there's no possibility of seeing. You know, the only thing is trying to depend on God and know that God makes miracles. That's what I'm focusing on.
But it sounds like to me you're asking us, help me figure out why God would let this happen?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Is your question also, why would God do this to me, more than why would God let it happen?
All the above.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Why does this disqualify you from pastoring?
Well, it's just the emotional. It wouldn't disqualify me. It's just that I just felt that at this time, trying to deal with the blindness and trying to deal with the emotional and the family issues and things that happened. So just trying to take it a little bit at a time and keep moving forward. That's all.
Okay,
that's tough. That's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll have to ask God that question when you get to heaven, because I don't think there's an answer to it.
Right.
You know, it reminds me of Blaise Pascal, who was quite wealthy. First taxi system in Paris, he started it, and he was brilliant. And he gave up all of his possessions except for his books. to enter into a decade of simply studying and writing to edify God's Word. Mm. And I think he was into it about a year and came down with a fatal illness. And he never completed his assignment because he died beforehand.
Mm. Wow.
And so you see these things happening. You see the good people, the wonderful GIs being killed in the war. And you go, wow, why? And I'm just going to say this to you, that it's an evil world and evil things happen and bad things happen and imperfect things happen. And one of the things, when these imperfect things happen to me, I was able to kind of get through it by saying this little phrase, for the greater good. For the greater good, God allows people to make crummy choices. We chose that we're going to sin, and we don't live in the garden anymore. If we were in the garden, you wouldn't be blind today. But because he's given us freedom of choice, and we've chosen, and we're in a fallen world, for the greater good, he doesn't always step in and say, no, I'm not going to let him go blind. You know, when I was when I got divorced, when my previous wife left, you know, my big question to God was, God, I know that there's no guarantee that you would fix this. There's nothing in me that believes that you're obligated to make this better or that you've promised to make it better. But couldn't you just do that in my case? You know, couldn't you just come on in? Why not?
We all have said that.
So,
the better question is, God, what do you want me to learn in this?
Mm-hmm.
And where are you going to lead me? And how can I continue to serve you? And it's, you know, I think it was Elizabeth Elliot as she was holding her.
Mm-hmm.
It was Catherine Marshall who was holding her dying grandbaby. And said, you know, God, I would rather have your presence than to have your than to understand why, because there's never a satisfying answer to a why.
No, we just know that there is suffering, and there are all kinds of afflictions that people have suffered throughout Scripture, and so in this blindness, you know, like Steve and Dave are saying, you know, what does God want you to see in your blindness?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm really
you're in company with Paul, who had ophthalmic problems as well.
And I'm just thinking about a quote from Helen Keller, is that, you know, we would never know God's grace if there weren't problems and difficulties. And I hope that you will embrace what is there and tell God, I'm going to honor you in this horrible thing that I don't like, that you let happen to me, but I'm going to honor you.
And then to be able to, at some point, use it for his glory, right?
Yeah.
Because you do have something to offer people down the road.
But first, you have to grieve the loss of it. You grieve the loss of it, and then
That includes anger and sadness.
And then you embrace it, and then you serve other people with it. Let me send you, I think we've got an audio of Healing is a Choice, because in there I talk about those three things right there. You grieve the loss. Right. If you don't, you can't really embrace it. But once you embrace it, then God can use it to give you a life more fulfilled than if the difficulty or the struggle had never even happened.
Well, we're so sorry, Jim.
So sorry, my friend, and I'm glad that you called. God bless you. Let's pray for him. And pray that he will see things that he would have never seen if his sight had not gone away. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop, Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us today. We'll take a break and come back for the final segment of New Life Live. Hold on.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We need your help. We're listener supported, and we have so many great things coming up. The best one that we do probably for more people is Every Man's Battle. We do it every month. And if you have a problem, let us help you with it. Let's go to Nathan from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Nathan.
Not too good. I suffer from people not liking me, and I've been like that ever since I was born. Like, no girls like me, and how do I get people to like me? and I have family problems, really, and how do I overcome that?
Now, how old are you, Nathan?
I'm a 29-year-old disabled male. I take medicine. I suffer from depression and OCD and stuff.
Okay. And do you go to any kind of groups or connected with people in any way, church, clubs, anything like that?
Well, that's the problem. When I go to church, the voice is acting loud, and the voice is saying, kill everybody in the church, and nobody feels your pain, and taking a stab of something in the head, you're better off dead, and all these negative stuff. But I try to take my medicine, I see my doctors, and I ask them for help, and sometimes they have the answer, sometimes they don't. But I just want to know how to overcome this.
Right.
The voice keeps saying you're going to go to hell and all this, and God doesn't care about you. Because you have these thoughts and nobody likes you and all that.
I'm sorry you're going through that.
Oh, I know. And those are lies. Those are not of God. Nathan, are you involved in any, like, disability groups or things like that?
Well, I was going to my groups on Pittsburgh, Oakland.
Okay.
I was going there for a long time, but after a while, my insurance wouldn't cover it, so I couldn't go anymore.
Okay, because a lot of times they teach social skills groups.
I'm sorry
about that. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sometimes they teach social skills groups, and, you know, they have, programs to help you connect. So,
here's my thought, Nathan. My thought would be that for you to wait for somebody to come along and connect with you and like you might not be the best idea. But to work with somebody that, like an occupational therapist, that could help you figure out some things that you could do, maybe not to work because you're disabled, but maybe there's some volunteer things that you could do that would help other people. Maybe there are people in worse shape than you or older people that you could help. And so you become the helper, not the one that needs the help. And that kind of strengthens you and emboldens you to reach out to these people and connect with them as a beginning place of connection. Dave, your thoughts?
Well, one more thought with that. Also, when you work alongside people, they get to know you, they become familiar with you, and then, you know, friendships develop.
Well, the other thing, Nathan, are recovery groups, you know, because usually people that are in recovery are very accepting of other people, and because they've been through a lot themselves. And, you know, getting into a group where you can share some of the pain and have it affirmed rather than questioned or, you know, repelling people. And they don't cost anything. So you call a couple of churches to see if they have a New Life Recovery Group or Celebrate Recovery Group, and you go once a week, and it's amazing how it can change your life.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I want you to hold on, and you know, you're in a very active area, full of resources there. Maybe we can help you find something. I don't know, but God bless you there, buddy. And let me send you a copy of, I'll send you a copy of this Life Recovery workbook, some things you can do through there.
The Book of Life Recovery.
No, Book of Life Recovery, yeah. Some Bible study. See if you like that. Okay? We'll get that to you. I don't know. I'll take a quick call here from Allison, Denver, KRKS. Don't have a lot of time, but how could we help you today?
Hi. I've been trying to think of a question to present to you to kind of just sum it up, but I really don't know what my question would be. I just want some... maybe an idea of what you think I might be going through, just having a lot of flashbacks of my childhood. And I almost kind of don't look forward to going to sleep at night.
What happened that brought all this on?
It's been like this pretty much most of my life. I think just now that I've hit the 40s, I'm reevaluating everything, and I think that's pretty normal from some of the things that I've read.
Yeah.
That, but I just, my thoughts are intertwined with my sister committed suicide in '98, and I never I never talked about it. I never...
Never fully grieved it, probably.
No, never did. Yeah. And it's just ongoing. I live in Colorado now, but my mom and my other sister are in Canada. And so, and I did move, actually, just to get away from all of the family.
Yeah.
So my husband just made the decision that we, you know, for us, we have to move.
So you've got a while. All right, but you've got a lot of you've got a lot of loose ends,
unresolved things,
hanging out there.
Yeah. And it sounds like they've been kind of kept secret, where you haven't had anybody
moved away,
to talk
but
to.
But you can't move away from your mind. You carry that with you, and especially under times of stress, those things will come up. So I think it's time for you to get involved in either a group and some counseling to deal with this.
To where you can bring these things out into the relationship and hear acceptance and understanding.
Mm-hmm. And work through them when you're awake instead of only when you're asleep.
Yeah, or trying to go to sleep.
Let's send her your book, Rethink How You Think.
There's a great idea.
Yeah, and maybe that will help you there. I wish we had more time, but I think the answer to your question, even though you didn't kind of ask one, is yes, you are experiencing survivor guilt, and yes, you are having
stress.
And yes, you have ungrieved losses, and yes, the geographic thing didn't fix it. So I think you've got a lot of hope there, because there are a lot of things that you can do to change things in your life. Well, we are out of time, and if you live in Dallas or not, on October the 15th, we're coming your way with Intimacy in Marriage. And on November the 12th, the Restore Workshop is in Washington, D.C. And we would love for you to come if you need some help in healing, forgiving. Life Recovery Today with me is on the NRB Network, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 11 a.m. LifeRecoveryToday.net is where you can find out about that. Every Man's Battle is coming to Atlanta next weekend, Every Man's Battle, on the 8th of October. We'd love to have you. We'd love to see you. We'd love to know you. And we'd love to help you. That's what we're here for. So I hope and pray that we could help you in some way going forward. But you have to call us first. Maybe you've listened a long time, you've never picked up that phone, and you have no idea the resources that are available to you or the options that you have to live the new life. If you call us, we'll help you with that. It is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. We need your help. I've said it many times. We need your support throughout this year, and the easiest way is to become a part of Club New Life. Maybe you can only give a one-time gift. We would appreciate that if you could. But if not, maybe you could become a Club New Life member and be part of that regular giving family that means so much to us. Thank you, Dr. Hubbard. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to all of you who watch and listen and pray for us and support us. We're so grateful. And I hope you have a great, great day, and that maybe this could be the beginning of a whole new life for you this very day. We love you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.